This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Alwinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part 8 in the Offensive Christianity series. This message is titled The Ancient Path to Success, and it's taken from Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Our Father, we do come into your presence this morning because you are great. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the one true, great, triune God. And as your people, we come into your presence today and we worship you. We worship you because you first made yourself known and you have revealed yourself to us, and what you've made is incredible. Thank you for the beauty of all that you've made, Lord God, and we honor you and how you've let us know of your extreme power and of your wisdom and of your creativity that knows no limits. And then you've revealed yourself to us through the prophets of old and through the written word as it has stood the test of time and proven to be true. And then, of course, mostly as you revealed yourself to us through Jesus. Whom to know is to know God himself. Whom to know is to know life eternal. And come to you today, and we worship you, for you are the only King, and we bow down before you willingly, gladly, humbly. We submit ourselves before you today, and we give you praise. You are the object of our attention right now. Lord, as we come into the presence of holiness, we do confess our sins, and we know them and you know them, and so we come clean with them right now. Lord, not wanting in any way to let anything come between us, but to remember that Jesus died for our sins. And so, Lord, we confess them. And know that you're not possessed with what we've done, but you're convinced that the blood of Jesus has paid for all of our sins. So, Lord, now we want to be convinced of that too, and to be free, to come alive today on the first day of this week so that we can remember that we're forgiven and that we're your children. And Lord, thank you that you're our Father because of Jesus. On this day, on this Father's Day, it's good for many. For some, it's a day of grief because they miss their fathers who are gone. For some, it's a day of grief because the legacy was not all that good. And for some, it's a good thing. But Lord, today we come and focus on you as our Father. And we thank you that all of us have to go beyond our earthly father, and that you have taught us to pray, our Father, because that's what you now are. We respect you and we honor you, and yet we come boldly before you as children, and we need you. And we tell you that, and we need you to continue your work in our life. We need you to help us with our relationships, with our work. In every way, we come to you and ask that you would meet us. You know the needs in this room, the grief, the loss, the hopes and the dreams, Lord. We pray that you, as our good Father, would provide for us what we need. Know our hearts and hear our prayer. And now teach us from your word. We pray for the one who speaks, that you would use one who is limited and finite to communicate your infinite truth. Speak as a father to his children, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Joshua chapter 1, as we continue our study in offensive Christianity. It is Father's Day, and while you're turning, as I look around, I see all kinds of different fathers and stepfathers and grandfathers, all kinds of different men in this room. I see introverts and extroverts, tall, thin, dark skin, light skin, a few of you with gray hair showing your wisdom like I have, and but all kinds of different men in this room, and it's some from the north, some from the south. Some of you are just plain rednecks. That great leader of the men's movement in America, Jeff Foxworthy, defined a redneck as a man with a glorious lack of sophistication. Many of us have that, and I'm glad you're here. This is a great day to celebrate, and I know that your families are going to take care of you if they haven't already. It's going to be a lavish day for you, men, right? Ladies, kids, it is, or it will be after the service today. We need involved, godly, intent mothers, and we need involved, godly, and intent fathers. And it's a great day to celebrate. I love the unofficial motto of one Russian counterterrorist unit. The unofficial motto is, if not me, then who? If not me, then who? You know, who's going to go in and save those people? And I say that to fathers because it's so applicable. If not you, who? I want you to know something about your kids. Can I? I have better kids than you do. That's true. But I want to tell you something about your kids. They're cool, but I don't love them as much as you do. And I never will. Now, I'll be nice to them. I will make sure that we've got programs for them. We'll take care of them here at Willow Creek Church. We've got great people out there. But dads, nobody's going to love them more than you. Never, ever. And so you are so important. John Paul Richter said this, what a father says to his children is not heard by the world, but it will be heard by posterity. You don't get enough credit, I know. You say they don't listen. Oh, they do. They just don't want to obey you in your presence. That would gratify you way too much. But they're listening. They're listening. By the way, it was a lady that came up with Father's Day, Sonora Dodd, back in 1909 while listening to a Mother's Day sermon, said, well, I ought to do something for men. She was right. And for her Civil War vet dad, she helped push for a new day. And that's an important day for us as well. Now, I'm not going to just speak to men. I'm going to speak to women as well. We're in our series, Offensive Christianity. And we're going to continue that today as we talk about God's ancient path to success. I recognize from the get-go that being on the offense and success are two words that are very male in orientation, are they not? We want to be on the offense. Men, I don't care who you are. If you're an introvert or an extrovert, you want to be on the offense. Whether you're playing sports or playing backgammon, you want to win. Whether you're leading men into battle, or if you're leading or you're in a debate, you want to win, you know. We want to be on the offense. The feminist movement said a long time ago, and have continued to say up to the present moment, you men are too aggressive. That's the thing that's wrong with you. Men are too aggressive. Men are aggressive. We are. We're aggressive. I admit it. We want to be on the offense. God made us that way. The problem is God made us that way, and sin made the aggressiveness worse. And so, see, aggressiveness is not bad. It's good. It keeps us on the offense. It, whatever God made, God has to control. We want success too, don't we, men? I mean, we men, we don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, today would be a great day to fail. I think I'll fail today. No, we wake up and we say, how can I be a success? If you will not understand a man unless you understand that he is driven to succeed. That's the way it is. That's the way God created us. God created us to be productive. Just like he is productive. We want success. The problem is that so often we buy into the success that the world offers, spending billions of dollars every day to get our attention. We buy into that definition instead of God's definition. See, the deal is not that we shouldn't pursue success. We should. It just needs to be God's definition of success. What God created us to be, he has to control. Now, can we talk about ladies for a minute? Are ladies aggressive? I am in big trouble right now. But I have started something. I have got to finish. Are you ladies aggressive? Well, assertive. Might be a better... Notice that the assertive movement that started back in the 70s died, but it was for you, to make you more assertive. Let me ask you this. Are ladies assertive? And everybody shakes their head, yes. I've been a pastor for 25 years, in ministry for 30. Listen, I've met my match many times. You guys are assertive. You guys are aggressive in your own way, aren't you? Do you know how to get your point across? Do you pursue success? Absolutely. See, it's not that God hasn't made some of us assertive and some of us not assertive. Some of us to want to be on the offense and some of us not to want to be on the offense. Some of us to want to pursue success and not pursue success. We all want those things in different ways, in male and female, but we want those things. The key is to have them controlled by God. What God has created, He ought to control. So today we want to talk about continuing to be on the offense, particularly about success. Pursuing success. We're going to talk about the ancient path to success. You want it? I want it. Now let's learn more about it. Joshua 1, 8 through 9. These are the verses. Are you guys continuing to memorize? Good. And if you've shaken your head yes and you're not, you can confess that and get memorizing soon. You need these verses. I do too. Here it is. This is God's Word. This is the ancient path to success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have, let's say it together, then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you, wherever you will go. That is God's word, and that tells us a whole lot about success. And the first thing we need to know about success is the right object of success. And so the question is, what is the right object of success? Answer, whatever God says it is. The right object of success is whatever God says it is, because He is God and I am not. Because He is God and you are not. He is infinite. He is the truth giver. He is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He's revealed truth to us so that we could know what is the object of success. Men and women, whoever we are, He needs to tell us what the right object of success is, because I forget. I forget, and I get so distracted. I took a professional profile this past week just to try to figure myself out this year again a little bit. And it came back and it told me that I'm antsy and easily distracted. Really? I haven't known that since I was 10. I am easily distracted, and this world is spending billions of dollars to distract you. To take you to the definition of success that the world wants to give you. The media wants to give you. The Hollywood wants to give you. It's all out there. There it is. This is success. And God says, no, let me tell you what the right... As your father, I'm going to give you a grace. And my grace is this. I'm going to give you the grace of telling you what success is, so that you don't have to wander and wonder and worry and pursue all these... Go down all these rabbit... trails of success. I love to talk to different people about their stories and how they come to know Christ. And they tell me about all the rabbit trails they went down with. They went down here, they did that, they did that. And finally they came to the end and they said, you know, nothing works. Nothing is feeding my soul. And the Father says, I'm going to tell you what success is, so you don't take yourself so seriously and so that you pursue the right path to success. We do take ourselves too seriously, don't we? And guys, success, don't we? Yeah, we do. We do. We want to be successful. I like the story of the man who called the church office. The receptionist answered, and he said with a southern accent, he said, hey, I'd like to talk to the head pig at the trough there. And the receptionist said, sir, don't talk about our senior pastor that way. That's not very dignified. He said, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. I'm sorry. I just wanted to donate $50,000 to your building fund. She said, hold on a minute, sir. The big oinker is coming through the door right now. Man, of all pastors, I'm the one that's taking myself far too seriously. And it doesn't matter much, really. God's word is going to win. God wins. The Da Vinci Code isn't. Jesus is, He has, because the tomb is empty. And so the definition of success is whatever God says it is. And my little ambitions and your little ambitions if you keep following them and don't get God's definition of success, are going to leave you sad and unhappy and at some point desperate. Now, what was the definition of success for Joshua? Because that's the context. Joshua is leading the people of Israel into the promised land. Here's the context for success. Success is this. Go in and take the land. Get in to battle, defeat my enemies, set up my true worship and my temple and my tabernacle, get involved in the messiness of extending my kingdom. That's success. Go in there and do it. Fight. Now, it wasn't just for the guys. You say it was just for the guys. No, for the women too. How many times did the enemy break through? And the women had to pick up a sword. I don't know. The text doesn't show us. But it does tell us that the women were very much a part of the battle too. Of supporting the troops. Of leading the people of Israel into battle. That's the messiness of our world. And you know the interesting thing is today. That God's definition of success is very similar to the definition of success right there for Joshua. Go in and take the land. Joshua is to the Old Testament what the book of Acts is to the New Testament. Now, by that I mean this. Joshua is a book about coming out of bondage and going in to take the land. Acts, in the New Testament, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is a book of now that Jesus Christ has come and paid for our sins and risen from the dead, the church is launched out there to take the world. Joshua is a type of Christ. He's a Christ figure in the Old Testament. And just as Joshua was leading the people into pursue God's definition of success, taking the land, setting up worship, and bringing people into the fold, that's the same thing for us today. That's the New Testament definition of success is the Great Commission. And that's what we're about. We got people in Mexico. I think they're coming back today, aren't they? I've been gone. I don't know. I don't even know my name today. I think they're coming back from Mexico today. And we've got students in Australia. And you guys are involved in ministry. That's success. I've read just about every book on success that there is. I have shelves of success books. So have you, right? If you're in business, you've read 1, 2, probably 20. I probably got 30. Because I wanted to know how to be a success. So I finally bought the last one I bought. I haven't bought any other since then, a couple years ago. You could kill somebody with this book if you dropped it on their head. This is the success principles. This is it. The definitive. By Jack Canfield. He's the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, Chicken Soup for the Retired Soul, for the ex-con soul. I mean, he's got them all. This is it. And I love this. And it's really a good book. But this is how it starts. Quoting Brian Tracy, life is like a combination lock. Your job is to find the right numbers in the right order so you can have anything you want. That's what the success books will give you. All of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Figure out what you want and go after it. And that's humanism. Because humanism says there's no God, therefore there is no ultimate truth. Therefore, you got to figure out your definition of success. But God comes to His children and He says, I am here. I do know what is right, and I'm going to tell you. You will be ultimately satisfied when you worship me and when you're a part of extending my kingdom in the world. If you get involved in other success principles, they're going to let you down. That's why all those people that come to Christ after following this formula come to me and say, I tried it all, it didn't work. I said, no, I could have told you that. Never will. We just got back from vacation, and it was great. Some friends made it possible for us to go out to a place out west, and we had a great time. dry air, no humidity, beautiful mountains. It was just a great time. No phones, no emails. I brought my laptop, but I couldn't figure out how to make it work, which is not untypical. I couldn't get my email, so there it is. We rested. I got to do a mountain bike down a very, very, very steep mountain. It was a very spiritual experience, I want you to know. Steeper than I've been. I prayed the whole way down. Oh, Jesus, don't take me now. You know, it was great. And about day six, I started thinking, okay, had a lot of fun. I'm ready to get back to something a little more transcendent, a little bigger, a little less expensive, but a little bit more. I loved it. Listen, go on vacation. Some of you are getting a little cranky. I was. And don't talk to our staff. I needed to get out of here. It was good. But the purpose of vacation, as we relax, as we decompress, is that we can therefore come back into something worthwhile, transcendent, big. And if God's in it, that is success. So he tells us, first of all, what the right object of success is, and then he teaches us how to get it. I love this. This is how to get it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Here's the way to success. First of all, speaking God's word. Joshua is told, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It should not depart from any of our mouths. As we take God's word, God's self-revelation to us in Scripture, and as we speak it, as we know it, as we encourage people with it, we lead them to success. Because God's word is always the way, is always the path. Just about any place you turn in God's word will lead you to success. And so Joshua's main job was teaching the people and reminding the people of what true success was. I mean, I can imagine Joshua saying, I know you don't want to go into battle. I don't either. I'm scared too. But we got to go, because that's success. Success is out there. It's not just sitting around back here. Joshua says, success to the people. Success is fulfilling the kingdom of God. I know you're tired. I'm tired too. I know you want just to be dead. I know. But that's success. It's out there. Pursuing the kingdom. I've got my main job. And you say, Pete, when I say things to you, you say, I've heard you say that over and over and over again. I know. It's our little secret that I say things a lot that are the same things. And you kind of walk out and say, well, there wasn't much new there. It's kind of the same sermon. I've heard him say that 40 times. But you don't say that to me when you walk out the door. Thank you. But my job's not to innovate on this. My job is to teach you what it says and to remind you. This is the way, walk you in it. Me too. Speaking the word of God. Parents, dads. You want to lead your kids to success, and you have a lot of principles to tell them, but the main principles you got to give them are the word of God and the direction found in the word of God. You want them to succeed. I know, I do too. But you got to give them the big picture and where to be involved, because that will lead them to success. How do we get there? Speaking God's word to one another. That's what we do in our small groups a lot of times, studying the Bible. When women get together, when men get together, we're trying to get into this so that we remind each other what the truth is. Secondly, we pursue success by meditating on God's word. But you shall meditate on it day and night. I heard just the other day that 90% of Americans think as they are speaking. Did you catch that? That's what they said. 90% of Americans. I think it's 95%. I know it's true of me. 90% of Americans think as they're talking. Do you catch the significance of that? That means many of you are holding back big time right now. You would love to clarify what I've said or add to what I've said or interrupt what I've said, but you just, this is not the right place to do that. If we were in a small group, I bet you would. And as somebody's talking to you, as you're responding back, you're thinking about what you're going to say. Americans do not understand meditation. I've had to be taught. Eastern meditation says, clear your minds. Remember transcendental meditation years ago? Some of you are in my same category. You remember that. Other of you, it's just an ancient teaching. Well, it is ancient, but the whole idea was to get a mantra, sit with your legs crossed, and repeat the mantra. And clear your mind. Man, I could never do that. Partly because I was a Christian, partly I can't sit still like that. How do you put your legs like that? I can't do that. And how do you sit still? That's meditation in that way. It's clear your mind. God says, no, clear your mind. Fill your mind. Biblical meditation is filling your mind with God's Word so that you're getting every angle of it, so that it's sinking in, so that meditation is learning to plumb to the depths of something, of truth. If God's Word is infinite, then it has all kinds of application. Like peeling the layers of an onion. There's always more there. That's meditating on God's Word. Let it go over, marinate in your mind, because by that we're transformed. It is the meditation that transforms us into seeing that God's way is always the right way. Have you ever heard the book of the Bible Code? The Bible Code. It's been on the New York Times bestsellers list. It was written by pagans. And on our vacation, I got to see my father-in-law, and he's a Bible student, has been for years, and gave me this book, said, I want you to read it. And I've studiously avoided reading it because it's by pagans. Mathematicians and scientists, of which I am neither, I probably won't be able to understand it. But the idea of the Bible Code is that in the original Hebrew, if you have a computer, you can figure out the codes. Rabin in Israel was prophesied as being assassinated, and he was. And they found all these other things, most of which I've forgotten. But all these, and supposedly it's true. Now, there's no Christians involved in this. It's all pagans who are saying this code is there. And they don't know how it got there, but they say it's there. Is it true? I don't know. My book on it will be coming out shortly. I'd buy it. I don't know. I don't know if it's true. I suspect not. But if it is, wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it is, but if it is, wouldn't surprise me. Because the Bible is God's book. And it has incredible power of personal transformation. For whatever's happened to you, whatever's happened to me, He can transform us. He can lead us to success. And the way to success is to speak God's Word to each other and to meditate on God's Word so that it transforms you inside. And then what happens is that there's a doing. You see, from speaking God's Word and meditating God's Word, this is not magic. It just happened. God's Spirit fills His Word and uses it powerfully in our life. The doing God's Word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. If you struggled with obedience, I've never sinned since I became a Christian. And if you believe that, of course we've all sinned. How did you get better? Because you are better. I know some of you. Boy, when I first met you, I want you to know. And you're better. How? Because the Word of God got into you and the Spirit took it and began to transform you inwardly. And you start doing. We get this thing, do this, do this, do this. Pastors are the worst at that. We teach the Bible and we say, do this. Really, what we ought to be saying to you is, speak it, meditate on it. And you will do it. You cannot not be transformed by the Word of God. You know, the reality is you don't need, probably most of you, to need more Bible truth. You just need to apply what you know, right? How many of you have back problems? If you have back problems, raise your hand. I sometimes do. Yeah, I see that hand. We're going to have a healing service afterwards. All right, now, don't raise your hands because I don't want anybody to be put out today. But how many of you know the exercises you ought to do for your back that your doctor and your PT gave you so that your back won't hurt? How many of you know those exercises? Don't raise your hand. A lot of people giggling out there. You know, and you're not doing it. So don't come whining to me when your back hurts. Wasn't that pastoral? Guys, we know more than we're applying. And probably we're not doing it because we're not meditating on it. Because if we'll meditate, it'll change us. So you may be careful to do all that is written in it. I love that. I love this. This is the way to success. Know what you're supposed to be involved in. I know. Go on vacation and get away from the messiness of the world. You got to. I do too. But then come back to be involved in kingdom work. Be involved in the messiness of people's lives. Be involved with the messiness of the nursery. It's messy there. Be involved with our youth. Be involved in sharing Christ to somebody. Be involved in extending the kingdom, because that's where it's all about. Really, that's what's going to last. And then speak the word, meditate on it, and you will do the word of God. And then he ends with this incredible challenge in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? God says, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. No, notice he doesn't say, be worried about messing up. He doesn't say, hey, listen, I'm going to be leaning over your shoulder, and if you mess up, I'm getting you. He says, you're my children. I just rescued you from bondage. You're mine. Live free. Jesus' name, if translated back into the Old Testament, would probably be translated what? Joshua. Yeshua. Joshua is a type, a figure of Christ, our Savior. And Jesus comes to us and he says, listen, the only way to true success is me. I am the way, the truth, the life. Let's deal with the sin stuff, and then you can let my word permeate your life, and then you can pursue what will really last. And if you mess up, it's all right. On vacation, I was meditating on the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm so close to having that almost completely in my life, fully lived out in perfect ways. It's just scary sometimes. I mean, the more I look at that, the more I think about that, I say, I don't love it all. And the Father says, I know. That's why I took you on vacation. One of the things I want you to see is this. So just keep going. Jesus paid for your lack of love. It's okay. You can keep growing. I'm with you. Keep moving ahead into success, as I define it. Strength and courage. At the beginning of the movie Gladiator, which hardly any men have ever seen more than 20 times. The opening scene is a battle. And Maximus, the general, grabs the arm of his second in command just before the battle and says, strength and honor. You know what he says for us to do is to encourage us by saying strength and courage as we live out God's plan in our life. Strength and courage. Sometimes you'll need somebody to listen to how hard your life is. You'll need a counselor. That's good. But a lot of times what we need around here, somebody to listen and love, to hug you and say, strength and courage. Strength and courage in following God's plan, because that's the only way to success. For women and for men. You take it to heart. Let's pray. If you don't know Christ, Today would be a wonderful day, men, to start over. To say that you're tired of going down the rabbit trails of success that are not leading you in the right direction, but that you're ready to admit failure and your need for a Savior, as the rest of us have in this room. Christians aren't perfect. We're forgiven. And today would be a good day, men, fathers, anybody, to say that you're ready to pursue success as God defines it, to receive Christ as your only Savior, the Joshua of the New Testament, who truly has defeated the enemy that really is after you, sin and death. And He welcomes you into a whole new life of grace and power. Pray something like this: God, it hasn't worked following the other definitions and paths to success. I want to go the ancient path today. And I put my faith and trust and hope in Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Master. And I want to follow Him into success. Fill my life now. Forgive me. And remake me. Renew me. I pray. Father, be with all of us in this room. The fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, all of us in this room who seek to be men and women that make a difference and leave the right legacy. May this week be different as we follow Your path to success, we pray in Jesus' holy name.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org, and our phone number is 407-699-8211.